Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of PhD Beyond the Lab, hashtag fight cancer, hashtag cancer sucks, hashtag cancer research. In the era of social media, everyone has seen the hashtag at least once or has scrolled news about novel oncology treatments within the feed. But have you ever wondered how new medication or diagnostic tools are conceived? The answer is probably no, and that is because the bench-to-bedside process often receives poor attention. Today, we would like to give you a taste of some innovations in oncology by the people who are working in it. Let's begin. My name is Lorenzo Tucci. I am a second-year PhD student in endocrine molecular pathology. As an endocrinologist, my focus is to study novel diagnosis tools for malignant adrenal tumors, with a particular care for adrenocortical cancer, or ACC, a rare albeit aggressive disease. Since few therapeutic options are available, proper diagnosis and surgery represent the gold standard treatment for ACC. However, one of the pitfalls in everyday clinical practice for endocrinologists is the paucity of information we can obtain from a computerized tomography scan while investigating some types of adrenal tumors, including other malignant adrenal masses than ACC, even after biochemical hormone test. In the attempt to solve this clinical challenge, we have teamed up with highly skilled radiologists and bioengineers to formulate a machine learning software based on radiomics, a computerized analysis of adrenal tumors grayscale texture. So we performed a radiomics analysis on more than 1,000 adrenal tumor CT scan across 14 European centers, achieving an overall diagnostic accuracy above 90% for the early recognition of malignant adrenal masses. A completely different approach, although with a similar goal, has been investigated at the University of Birmingham in the United Kingdom, where I work now as a visiting clinical research fellow. Here, I focused on the quantification of small fragments of DNA that can be found in the bloodstream called circulating cell-free DNA or cccfDNA, and have been proved to be measurable for several types of cancers. After collecting approximately 100 plasma samples from several patients, we designed a pilot study based on cccfDNA measurements for the differential diagnosis of adrenal masses, including 17 ACC, which exhibited the highest concentration of cccfDNA. Moreover, we were able to predict the presence of an ACC using a cccfDNA healthy subject-derived cutoff from a previous publication. Both studies need further confirmation on independent cohorts. Nevertheless, the results are promising and are gathering growing interest within international conferences. These novel tools require remarkable technical skills and knowledge and should be managed by highly specialized centers. Hence, they are not meant for everyday clinical practice, but for indeterminate cases which even further analysis might not be able to deliver a diagnosis. Moreover, radiomics analysis and cccfDNA measurements do not come with high costs. Therefore, also economic benefits would be provided. If confirmed, these techniques will significantly speed up the investigation of indeterminate adrenal masses, will reduce costs for healthcare systems, and hopefully will improve ACC survival. And now, let's give the floor to today's first guest. I'm thrilled to have Dr. Anna Gaimari with us. Dr. Gaimari is a researcher specializing in innovative cancer treatments, particularly in the fascinating fields of theranostic and immunotherapy. Anna, welcome, and thank you for being here.
Thank you. I'm excited to share my research with the audience.
Let's start with your journey. Can you tell us a bit about your background and what inspired you to pursue cancer research?
Of course. I graduated in pharmacy from the University of Bologna in 2020. In March 2021, I began working as a researcher at the Oncology Research Institute IRST in Meldola. And since November 2022, I've been part of the PhD program at the School of Biomedical and Neuromotor Sciences in Bologna. My interest in oncology stems from a desire to contribute to innovative treatments for a disease that impacts so many lives. Immunotherapy and theranostics, in particular, offer exciting new possibilities in precision medicine.
Theranostics is a key part of your research. For listeners unfamiliar with the term, can you explain what it means?
Absolutely. Theranostics combines diagnosis and therapy into a single patient-centered approach. It's about creating tailored treatments based on the specific characteristics of a person's disease. For example, it can use imaging techniques to identify cancer and deliver targeted treatments simultaneously, ensuring the right dose reaches the right cells with minimal side effects.
That sounds revolutionary. How did HER-Gnostic first emerge?
The concept dates back to 1946, when radioactive iodine therapy was used to treat thyroid cancer. Since then, it has evolved significantly, now incorporating advanced techniques like radiolabeled antibodies and small molecules that target cancer cells more precisely.
Another focus of your work is immunotherapy. How does it differ from conventional cancer treatments like chemotherapy or surgery?
Conventional treatments often affect healthy tissues alongside cancer, which can lead to significant side effects. Immunotherapy, on the other hand, activates the patient's own immune system to target cancer cells. This makes it more selective and can lead to long-lasting remissions, especially in blood cancers.
Additionally, your PhD project focuses on combining radiotherapy with immunotherapy. How about these two approaches complement each other?
Radiotherapy can weaken tumors and make them more recognizable to the immune system, which can enhance the effectiveness of immunotherapy. My research explores ways to use theranostic tools to monitor and guide this combination, ensuring that treatments are as effective and precise as possible.
You're also working on some cutting-edge techniques, like using artificial receptors. Could you tell us more?
Certainly. We are developing new genetic engineering tools for immune cells that allow us to monitor their activity in real time. For example, we use a system called CNOT to control when and where specific receptors are activated. This not only makes treatments more precise, but also helps reduce side effects.
How could your research impact cancer treatment in the future?
Our goal is to create therapies that are more effective and personalized. By combining advanced imaging with target treatments, we can improve outcomes for patients, particularly those with cancer that are difficult to treat with current methods.
And for aspiring scientists listening today, what advice would you give?
Stay curious and don't be afraid to challenge existing ideas. Science is a collaborative effort, so learning from others and building on their work is key.
Dr. Gaimari, thank you so much for sharing your incredible work with us today. Your research gives hope to so many, and we will be following your progress closely.
Most importantly, remember that even small discoveries can lead to big breakthroughs.
We now dive into one of the most promising advancements in cancer treatment, CAR T therapy. Joining us is Dr. Anna De Lucia, a PhD candidate specializing in immunotherapy research, whose her focus is on developing innovative CAR T therapies for T cell cancers. Anna, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to share some insight about CAR T therapy and the research I'm working on.
Could you start by explaining CAR T therapy and why it has gained so much attention in cancer treatment?
Of course. CAR T therapy, or chimeric antigen receptor T cell therapy, is an innovative form of immunotherapy that reprograms a patient immune cell to recognize and kill cancer cells. This therapy is achieved by extracting T cells from the patient, genetically engineering them to express a receptor that targets a specific protein on cancer cell, and then infusing them into the patient. What makes CAR T therapy so exciting is the ability to provide a long-lasting response in cancer-like leukemia and lymphoma, especially in cases where other treatments have failed.
What are the main challenges of CAR T therapy?
There are several challenges. First, while CAR T therapy has shown remarkable success in treatment of blood cancer, its efficacy against solid tumor has been more limited. This is due to issues like the tumor microenvironment, which can suppress immune response, and difficulty in the finding tumor-specific antigens. Another challenging is the potential for several side effects like cytokine release syndrome and neurotoxicity, which require careful monitoring and management.
Can you tell us about your specific research project? What is the main focus?
My research focuses on developing a novel CAR-T therapy for T-cell leukemia and T-cell lymphoma. These are particularly challenging to treat with CAR-T because the cancer cell originated from T-cell, making it difficult to distinguish between healthy and malignant cell. The target I'm working on is called TRBC1. It's a specific region on the T-cell receptor. By targeting TRBC1, we can selectively eliminate cancer cell T-cell while preserving healthy one, which helps maintaining the immune function.
Why is TRBC1 a promising target for T-cell cancers?
TRBC1 is a unique and specific marker that is present only on a subset of T-cell. This mark makes it an excellent target because it allows us to distinguish between cancerous T-cell that express TRBC1 and healthy T-cell that do not. By focusing on this marker, we can achieve high specificity in our treatment, reducing the risk of collateral damage to the immune system.
How does your CAR-T construct work?
My construct, called CAR-T1, is a second-generation CAR molecule designed to target TRBC1, as I said. In preclinical studies, we've shown that it is highly specific and effective. It works by recognizing TRBC1-positive cancer cell and activating the engineering T-cell to kill those targets. Our results demonstrate that CAR-T1 can eliminate up to 90% of TRBC1-positive cell, in vitro, and achieve a complete remission in 80% of mice models with T-cell acute lymphoblastic leukemia.
What could be the broader impact of your research on the field of cancer immunotherapy?
If successful, our research could pave the way for a safer and more effective CAR-T therapy for T-cell malignancies. It could also open doors for targeting other unique markers in T-cell, potentially transforming the treatment landscape for this aggressive cancer. More broadly, it's contributed to the growing understanding of how engineered precision therapies that spare healthy tissue while eliminating cancer cells.
Finally, what excites you most about the future of CAR-T therapy?
What excites me most is the potential for CAR-T therapy to expand beyond its current limitation. Advancing genetic engineering such as CRISPR and improved understanding of tumor biology are helping us to develop CAR-T therapy that are more effective, safer, and applicable to a wider range of cancer, including solid tumor. And this is an incredible dynamic field. I'm thrilled to contribute in it.
Thank you, Dr. De Lucia, for sharing your experience with our audience. Moving on, let me introduce Dr. Chiara Magnoni, a second-year PhD student working in the CAR-T platform group at the Oncology Research Institute IRST, located in Meldola.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me today.
Please, tell us a little bit about what you are working on. What is the innovation that you are pursuing in your journey?
The innovation I'm trying to bring forward in my job is about allogeneic cell therapies. I know maybe not everyone is familiar with this word, so I'll try to briefly explain the concept. Cellular therapy is a type of treatment that involves the use of living cells to treat or manage diseases. And basically, cells are usually taken from the blood patient, manipulated outside the body, and then reintroduced to the same patient. Manipulating cells in the laboratory means, for example, modifying them genetically to make them more effective and more able to fight the disease.
Clear. Is this, let's say, personalized process the only way in which cell therapies are given to patients?
No, it's not. The approach where cells come from the patient's own body is called autologous treatment. It has several limitations because it requires high cost and long-term production, and sometimes the patient's condition impairs the cellular source. So there is another approach, which is called allogenic, that involves the use of cells that are taken from a compatible healthy donor rather than from the patient themselves. But as you can imagine, in most cases, there are no compatible donors. That's why in recent years, researchers are trying to improve the allogenic setting. Basically, the goal is to create a universal cell source ready to use, reaching as many patients as possible. And this is also the goal of my doctoral project, which relies on creating a unique master cell bank by using engineer-induced pluripotent stem cells.
Ah, okay. So induced pluripotent stem cells could be the solution, if I have understood well. Can you please explain more in detail which are the origin and the characteristics of these cells?
No, it's not. The approach where cells come from the patient's own body is called autologous treatment. And it has several limitations because it requires high cost and long-term production. And sometimes the patient's condition impairs the cellular source. There is another approach, which is called allogenic, that involves the use of cells that are taken from a compatible healthy donor rather than from the patient themselves. But as you can imagine, in most cases, there are no compatible donors. That's why in the recent years, researchers are trying to improve the allogenic settings. And basically, the goal is to create a universal cell source ready to use, reaching as many patients as possible. And this is also the goal of my doctoral project, which relies on creating a unique master cell bank by using engineer-induced pluripotent stem cells.
Huh, okay, so induced pluripotent stem cells could be the solution, if I have understood well. Can you please explain more in detail which are the origin and the characteristic of these cells?
Induced pluripotent stem cells, abbreviated in iPSC, are cells that are created in a lab from adult cells, such as skin or blood cells, which are genetically reprogrammed to become similar to embryonic stem cells. These iPSC cells are characterized by several interesting features, such as their unlimited expansion capacity, their possibility of being genetically engineered, and also to be differentiated into any type of human body cell. Additionally, since differentiated cells are all derived from the same iPSC clone, the therapeutic cells result in very consistent quality, which is important for turning allogenic therapies into more large-scale therapies. So all these features make iPSC an ideal source for producing large amounts of cells for prospective allogenic treatments.
Well, it would seem that the iPSC are really supercells. Could you kindly give us an example of how therapy can be created starting from these cells?
A well-known example of an iPSC application in cellular therapy regards the CAR T cell therapy, the immunotherapy mentioned before by my colleagues. In a few words, iPSC can be genetically modified, selected, and expanded in the laboratory, and then differentiated into T lymphocytes. These homogeneous iPSC-derived T lymphocytes that will express the CAR gene are ultimately infused into a patient to treat cancer.
Really nice. Basically, iPSC represents a turning point in this field. Are there any downsides to consider when these cells are used for therapy?
Like everything, yes. Unfortunately, nothing is the perfect solution in medicine. So despite the multiple benefits, the problem of rejection remains because the immune system of patients might still recognize the therapeutic cells as foreign and reject them. So the therapeutic applicability of iPSC still depends on patient-donor compatibility. To overcome this, researchers are exploring ways, for example, to modify iPSC by removing genes called HLA genes that are responsible for triggering immune rejection, and other similar strategies, but I won't go into detail today. I just want to summarize the concept for those who are listening. The take-home message is that researchers like me are studying a lot to figure out how to generate a universal cell bank to be used in different allogeneic cell therapy in order to reach as many patients as possible around the world. I truly think this will be a huge breakthrough for the medicine of the future.
This is so interesting. Thank you, Dr. Magnoni. I'm sure your talk has stimulated the curiosity of our listeners. And of course, a big good luck with your research.
It was a great pleasure for me. Thank you a lot.
And so, after hearing about these fascinating projects, it's clear how much progress is being made in the field of oncology. Now, we're moving on to another interesting area. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Mirjana Grelli, another PhD student working in the CARCI platform group at the Oncology Research Institute, IRST, in Meldola. Dr. Grelli, thank you so much for joining us today. Can you tell us a bit about yourself and the project you're working on?
Hi, thank you. I'm very excited to be here. To share a bit about myself, I graduated in medical biotechnology, and now I'm a second-year PhD student in biomedical and neuromotor sciences at the University of Bologna. My field of interest is the research of innovative approaches in the diagnostic and therapeutic area for thoracic malignancies, in particular for pleural mesothelioma and non-small cell lung cancer. These malignancies are extremely aggressive, and diagnosing them early is very challenging, so improving how we can detect them is really crucial. At the same time, finding therapies which could effectively target these tumors is equally important, especially since nowadays current treatments have limited success. So from this perspective, my PhD project focuses on the identification of both diagnostic biomarkers for early detection and predictive biomarkers, which could help us determine how patients will respond to a specific treatment. And in parallel, I'm interested in the discovery of new, more effective therapeutic options, especially in the field of immunotherapy for treating these two types of cancer.
That sounds like a fascinating and highly impactful area of research. Could you tell us more about the techniques you're using to reach these goals?
Of course. For the identification of diagnostic and predictive biomarkers, I'm using an advanced proteomic technology to analyze blood samples, in particular plasma samples, from patients with pleural mesothelioma and non-small cell lung cancer. This is a very, very powerful tool because it is able to analyze and screen up to 11,000 proteins in a single blood sample. The final goal will be to uncover new biomarkers that could help us detect these cancers before they become advanced, so even before patients show symptoms or tumors become visible through conventional imaging, and also to identify predictive biomarkers which could predict how a patient will react to therapies like chemotherapy or immunotherapy.
That's incredibly insightful. And how about the therapeutic side of your research? What new options are you exploring, especially in immunotherapy?
On the therapeutic side, I'm focusing on the immune response, especially on B-cell interactions in tumors. In fact, the B-cells have been found inside the tumor, forming specific structures called tertiary lymphoid structures, which are linked to better outcomes. So the idea is to use a technique called B-cell receptor repertoire analysis to study the variety and the diversity of B-cell receptors inside the tumor, with a view to identify new antibodies which specifically target pleural mesothelioma and non-small cell lung cancer cells, and so could be used for immunotherapy.
It's fascinating. What kind of challenges do you expect to face when using all these techniques?
Well, the biggest challenge is absolutely the complexity of data. In fact, as I said, proteomics involves analyzing up to 11,000 different proteins in a single sample. So managing and interpreting all this data requires sophisticated tools and a lot of computational work. Similarly, BCR repertoire analysis involves mapping out a large number of immune receptors, which requires precise sequencing technologies. Another challenge is also that even after understanding and gathering all this data, translating them into something actionable in clinics for patients will, of course, takes time. But if successful, these techniques will offer a way to diagnose this cancer earlier and also tailor treatments to individual patients, improving their outcomes.
It's amazing. And how do you see this research potentially benefiting patients in the future?
So, as I just mentioned, this research could significantly improve early diagnosis and personalized treatments, making therapies more effective and also especially reducing side effects in patients. In fact, the ultimate goal is to move towards precision medicine, where treatments are tailored to the individual patient based on his specific tumor and immune profile. As science advances, it's clear that the future of cancer treatment lies in the precision of both our tools and our understanding, bringing us one step closer to a world where every patient gets the treatment they truly need.
Absolutely inspiring. Thank you, Dr. Ghirelli, for sharing your work with us today. We can't wait to see the impact your research will have on cancer treatment. And with that, we wrap up today's episode. Thank you for joining us on this journey. Stay tuned for more episodes of PhD Bidding Podcast, and until next time.